Good morning, Park Church. Thank you for those who've led in music and worship and prayer. It's beautiful to get together and to worship together. And we're in this series, as we've talked about, of being better together. So here we go on another piece of the puzzle. As I thought about this subject, my mind went to, and I looked this up, it was Woody Allen. Maybe not your favorite theologian, but movie writer, actor, director. Woody Allen was quoted as saying that 80% of success in life is just showing up. Interesting idea, right? No matter what you think about Woody Allen's capacity for good judgment in things of life, that statement catches our attention, because there's something about showing up, isn't there? We could all tell stories of times in our life where it meant everything that people showed up in certain ways. Some of us show up and we don't actually know why. Others give up showing up, which is sad. And all of us are affected by those who fail to show up well. And so that's what we want to talk about really today. When we do show up, think about this with me. A dominant message in our culture is show up. Why? Why are you asked or invited often to show up? Well, if I show up in my workplace, in my neighborhood, in my school, wherever it is that you're living life, to gain prestige and power and privilege, then after that's enough, I'll end up being happy. And do you not hear that as a dominant message? That's why to show up. Do you know the Bible talks about this? But this is a different message about how we are to show up. So even this morning, like, what did you show up for? Huh? I mean, really, if you were to ask yourself that question. So where in the Bible does it talk about and speak to how we show up well? We're in this sermon series of Better Together, and if you haven't been here, here's where we've been. Pastor Matt introduced this with a big umbrella picture of this is how we would love one another well. The Bible's all over this. Is something that we pursue, we long for, but loving one another well, one way to understand that are all the one another's in the New Testament. So we are step by step traveling through only some of them. We've talked so far about when the Bible says encourage one another, what does that mean? And then praying for one another, how important is that? What it means to honor one another, to forgive one another, and to, last week, bear with one another. And as we've already said today, and Courtney's helped us with already, this thing about serving one another. So today, here's the thing. I want you to leave with understanding two S words. And they're good words, not bad ones. They're not four-letter ones. And so there's two S words. One of them you already know is service. The other one's a little bit less known, but I'd like you to understand them and be able to say, here's how I'm taking, by God's grace, my next steps. All right, is that good enough? Two S words. And so if I come up to you, what are those S words? Hopefully you can say those. Understand and apply these two directives. If you do this, it'll change your life. I know it's changed mine. And these two S words have everything to do with how we show up biblically, how we show up lovingly, and how we show up successfully, actually, in life. So, one of the great passages about this in the Bible is way toward the end. If you're kind of new to this, you can see it's like way to the back. It's in a letter written by the Apostle Peter. It's titled 1 Peter. And I'm going to invite you with your Bibles, your phones, your pads, however it is you might go there. Listen to this little section from 1 Peter in chapter 4. When we come to verse 10, I think it'll be projected for you. But I want to step back, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. And this has a lot to do with how it is and why it is that we would show up well. Ready? Here we go. The apostle says this in verse 7, the end of all things is near. Now, pause there for a minute. There's a reality that our days are limited and that there is an end that will come. The idea of this verse, though, it's not so much the end of, like, you know, midnight's the end of our day. The idea is more like the goal, the conclusion of all things is coming. So in light of that, therefore, as people of God, therefore, be serious. The idea is sober. Be sober and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. And now, here we go. Above all, it is important. The apostle says, above all, maintain constant love for one another. That's our subject, isn't it? For love covers a multitude of sins. That's a whole nother subject and a whole nother sermon, actually. But let's go now to how do you do that? Well, he gives a couple examples. One is what? Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Now, I have to just stop there and say, I've experienced that with different ones of you, so thanks. You know, like I live traveling quite a bit, but different ones of you, I've had meals with you, I've had coffee with different ones of you. A couple of you have loaned me your vehicle to get around in when I'm here, and your hospitality is much appreciated, and I don't think that you've been complaining about it. So good. So that's one way that we love one another, isn't it? Being hospitable. What? We open our hearts, our hands, even our homes at times to people. Hospitality. But now here's the focus for today. Verse 10. Like good stewards. There's a big clue about the second S word. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. Like good stewards of what? Of the manifold grace of God. Do you know that you and I have the invitation, the direction, the opportunity to be a steward is basically be a manager and a dispenser. So we get to be managing and dispensing the multifaceted very grace of God. That's unbelievable. So as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift. Some of you, are you paying attention? With whatever gift each of you has received. We'll stop there for now and we'll pick up verse 11 right at the end of the morning. Serving one another, key way that we love one another, an experienced love, isn't it? Now, if you're unfamiliar with this guy named Peter that wrote this part of God's word, this is true for then and true for now. It helps us know how to live well. The Apostle Peter is in this letter back in the day. He was writing to a marginalized, scattered group of believers in Jesus. Very interesting time and story. Kind of in now what is modern day Turkey. That's who he originally wrote to. And the people then, much like we are today, we're more and more, even in our culture, as believers in Jesus, more and more marginalized. If you haven't noticed that, you will before long. And Peter wrote to these people, they were suffering. That's a lot of the letter, how to handle suffering well. But that isn't one of the S words for today. The one for today is, in light of that, serve one another. Notice that he's speaking to the church, to God's people. And Peter does not say here, show up and be a spectator. He actually doesn't say, show up and be an evaluator or to offer your best criticism. He doesn't even say to the church, show up to be entertained or to be amused. But he says, show up in love to serve one another. Now, you might be saying, come on. Aren't there times to be a spectator? Yeah, there are. I mean, you buy a ticket to a movie, to a game, to a concert, be a spectator. You know what I mean? There are times when you, on a special occasion, maybe you go out to eat and you show up to be served. Absolutely reasonable. But now Peter says, like in the church and in our homes, a key thing that we do to show up well is we show up to serve. What an idea. A couple days ago, I was at a local coffee shop. And I saw this guy in the right over here in Shrewsbury. I saw this guy, and he happened to, of all things, he had a Denver Broncos cap and shirt on. So of course, you know, we live in Colorado right now. It's our home base, and so I had to go up to this fellow and say, "Oh, you're a Broncos fan, you know, whatever." So, but that his hat and his shirt said something about him, didn't it? And sure enough, he was a Broncos fan. He used to live in Colorado, lives there now. Well, then I went from there. Later on in the day, I went over to work out over at the local club. And this woman, young woman, walked in. She had this T-shirt with big old letters written on the T-shirt. And it said this: "I'm fluent in sarcasm." And I thought, what a great T-shirt. You know, and I looked at her. She looked like she'd be a lot of fun. I watched her a little bit. You know, I thought, I've never seen that saying before, you know. But I said, now, that T-shirt, that says something about her. You know what I mean? And I brought this hat. I grabbed it this morning because it's another, like, little thing that says something. I was on the plane, if you know this. So I wear this hat. People say, "Oh, you're a Colorado Rockies fan, huh?" "Yeah, well, I like, you know. I said, I get that this is Yankees country. I like the Yankees, you know, and I'm rooting for, but I also like, for the first time ever, we have some good pitching this year, so they're fun to watch. And but what we wear sometimes says something about ourselves. I got thinking a couple days ago, what if we all had T-shirts and it actually expressed what was in our hearts and how we do things? And what would it be good to say on our T-shirt as Park Church? Now, I was at a church once and a whole bunch of them had these T-shirts and it didn't actually have the name of their church. Their T-shirt said, "I love my church." And they wore that in the community. It created all kinds of conversation. That's not bad. You know, you're a church person? Really? And you actually love your church? Like, tell me about that. You know, I'd like to know about a church I could actually like or love. And, you know what I'd vote for? If we all wore T-shirts that really represented our hearts and our behaviors and our general way of showing up and doing things, you know what I'd like it to say? I show up to serve. That's what I'd like it to say. I'd like that to be true of me more and more. I'd like that to be true of us more and more. And it's a Bible concept. I show up to serve. What if that's how we really showed up? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 reminds us that in Christ, when you're in Christ, you're in the church, you have a gift. Each one of you has a gift, and it can be used to serve one another. It's probably a reference to spiritual gifts. Like it talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and stuff. So if you haven't learned about that, that's an important subject. We're actually not going to talk so much about that today. But once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you not only have the gift of the hope of heaven, you've been given at least a gift, the Bible says, for the purpose of serving others, to build others up to where others can become more like Jesus. Did you know that? You have a gift. And part of the fun of life is discovering what those gifts are and employing them in service. Think with me now. If you are using your gifts and you are showing up to serve, if you're using your gifts just to be nice or to earn God's favor or to please people or to be liked or to gain reputation for yourself, that is not biblical service. Service, in its basic sense, is being aware of and meeting the needs of others for the reason that others become better followers of Jesus, what we call disciples. That's biblical service, multifaceted. I love it around here because, like, have we not experienced that this morning? people who are good with instruments, people who've been gifted with great voices, and they've said, how can I serve in leading us into worship? Service, serving one another. Got the idea of what that is? Our motivation actually is not going after power, prestige, or privilege. Our motivation is loving because we've been loved. It's giving because we've received. It's becoming more like Jesus and helping others to do that too. Speaking of Jesus, one of the great verses in the Bible is Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Now the context, by the way, Mark chapter 10, you remember this? Way back when the early followers of Jesus, they argued. Can you believe that? And one of the things that they apparently argued about more than once? Who's the greatest? Check it out. It's in the Gospels, Mark chapter 10. So, Jesus comes along and says, you want to be great? Look at it, Mark 10, 44, 45. You want to be great? Learn to serve. Become a servant. Then in verse 45, it says this. Jesus came. We might say Jesus showed up. When he showed up, when he came, you know how he came? It says this in Mark 10, 45. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give of himself a ransom for many. Thank God that that's how he came. So as we become more and more like Jesus, guess what? We come. We show up. Like to serve. Serve him and one another. That's the main S word. That's one of them. Serve. Now, there are many stories that we could tell about this, but one of my favorite ones, because some of you have kids or grandkids, and it's fun seeing the kids around here, but we have two girls, and when they were little, like preschool and early elementary age, my wife Jan did this beautiful thing, because I happened to be pastoring a local church when our girls were little. And so one day we had this conversation with something like this. Jan said to our girls, Rachel, Lindsay, like, love it, you know, when you go to like what is sort of like Park Kids, you know, you go to your son class and you learn and you have a craft and like you're excited about what you learn and what you created, and you want to come talk, like, you know, to mom and dad in between worship hours. That's great. But here's the thing. On Sunday mornings, what we do when we go to church, we don't actually come just to talk with each other as our family only. In fact, we're not going to purpose from now on not to do that all that much. Do you know why? Because on Sunday mornings, what we get to do is we get to focus on going in church and serving others. So our girl said, like, what's that? Well, that's a great question. And so, our oldest daughter, if you met her, she still kind of does this to this day. And so she's really gifted relationally. And so what she got into doing was noticing who is it, kids, especially in others, who is it that's maybe by themselves or on the periphery or this new? And man, I'm gonna go talk with them and listen to them and find out about them and maybe sponsor them into a conversation and into a, you know, that's one way to serve. Our youngest daughter was pretty gifted in singing and playing an instrument. So guess what she did? She joined the worship band, you know, and helped lead in worship. And God has given you some kind of a gift, whether you are preschool or whether you're way old, even older than me. You have a gift to discover and to use to serve others, that others would become more like Jesus. And if you're saying, I'd rather come and sit. No matter where I've been in the church, those who come as spectators never end up being happy campers. So I'll guarantee you that if you aren't yet coming to worship and then to serve, you're not a happy camper around here, because you're made to worship God and to serve others. They showed up, even our girls, early on, not to be served, but to serve. How about you? So notice from this verse, here's the second S word, and we'll move toward wrapping this up. I want you to note from 1 Peter 4, verse 10, that there's something behind service. Here's the idea. Godly servants move from being spectators to stewards. Steward. That's often a word we don't use. That's the second S word. One is serve, the other spectator. So service, biblically speaking, is not only doing random acts of kindness for people. That's not all that bad. We've already talked about what service is. What's behind godly service and godly servants is understanding and engaging in being a steward. You might go, oh, what's that? You know the term stewardship? We use that a little bit more than the word steward. This verse teaches us that true service, being a godly servant, happens when we show up as a steward. So what's that? A steward is one, like I said, who manages. Here are the key things about a steward. As we grow into being a steward, we realize that all that we have and all that we are comes from God. Have you realized that? Even your next breath is a gift and a grace of God. But all that you are and all that you have is from God. Stewards realize that and live in light of that. That means, here's some of the bad news for some of you, you're actually not the owner, even of what you have. What if God's the owner and you're the manager? That's a steward way of thinking. The Bible teaches this. As stewards, we're responsible then for the faithful use of the gifts God has given to us. So you might say, how do you do that? I'll tell you a little story. I'm learning. Hopefully I'm growing. Here's a little window into how I'm trying to picture this and do me as I'm growing in this. We have gifts, almost all of us, of time, talent, and treasure, right? You have some time, you have some talents, you have some money and some treasures, some things. So I do a 3x4 stewardship thing. If you were to see it, I have one column. There's time, there's talent, there's treasure, and there are four areas that I think the Bible talks about purposefully, prayerfully, by God's grace, being a steward. It's my family, my church, my region, or the regional column, and the international column. So if you're, that's basically 12 boxes. So my stewardship plan, it changes a bit over time, but how is it that I am faithfully investing and using my time, my talents, my treasures and monies related to family, church, in the region, and around the world? That's just how I'm approaching that. That's my prayer, my plan, my purpose to be a steward. How do you do that? Godly servants move from spectator to steward. I will guarantee you, if you stay a spectator in your home, in the church, in your area, you will not be joyful or happy because you're not made to always be a spectator, right? You're made to serve and to give. That's when we're most fulfilled. Now, some of you, this is the last thing, some of you are going, is this stuff all that important? Actually, it is. If you're a business person, it'd be hard for you to have escaped literature in the business community. Business leaders, there's a whole literature now that's expanding on what's often called what? Servant leadership. Same kind of idea. A guy named Max Dupree, business leader and counsel and coach to many business leaders, listen to what Max Dupree has said about this in the business world. The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. The last is to say thank you. In between, the leader is a servant. And if you're a leader in the business world and you're a good one, You're a servant. And if you work with a leader and you like them because they're a good one, it's because they're a servant. It's a profound dynamic in our marriages and families. If you show up in your home primarily to be served, you're an accident waiting to happen. It's a whole different thing if you show up with an interest to know needs of others and to serve and to sacrifice for them. And guess what? That brings great joy and great meaning in our lives. You heard the story of Courtney on the video. She came here and many of you served her. And guess what? She's been so benefited by that, she's now serving our kids. Thank God. And there are many stories like that in this church community. It's beautiful. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 13 says, in Christ we have freedom. And guess why we have freedom in Christ? Our liberty is what? To do whatever we want? No, it says right, in, check it out, Galatians 5 verses 13 and 14. Our freedom in Christ so that it's used to love and to serve one another. That's what we're free to do. That's great. So, today you're in one of four groups. Let's bring it home. Let's land this thing. Serve one another and steward. Hopefully you know those words now, what they mean a little bit. Today you're in one of four groups. Maybe you're here today and you said, you know, I'd just be kind of interested in this Jesus thing. Like I met somebody and what does it mean to be in Christ? And so maybe today your whole thing is, really? Jesus, like, is God, and he like invaded our lives and our world to love us, and he did that by coming to serve, not to be served? Really? I'm beginning to understand that, and I want that. I by God's grace and in faith, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. If that's what Jesus is like, I'm in. Maybe that's you today. Great day to seal that deal if you haven't before. Then you're in the game that we're talking about. Or secondly, maybe you're in the group, frankly, you come today and truth be told, you're just discouraged. You know, you've been trying to say, you know, like I bought into this thing. If I've been pursuing power or prestige or privilege, and you know what, at the end of the day, I'm kind of saying, isn't there more to life than this? You know? If you're coming here discouraged for some reason, I dare you to try something. Think about and pray about who in your life has a need and you choose to serve them. And if you want, come back and tell me, because guess what? I'll bet it lifts some of your discouragement. We're made to live that way. Take a chance. Almost every time people tell me, you know, I served somebody and like it was good for me. Check it out. Or maybe the third group, maybe this is a whole new idea to you. What if God's made us to show up to serve as a church? Well, how do I do that? How do I know what my gift is? One of the favorite things that Pastor Matt and Rebecca and others of us as staff do is talk with people about how are you gifted? How has God wired you in order to where you can give and serve? And the most fulfilled people around here are those who are using their gift to serve others. Guaranteed. So if you want to talk with us about that, we'd love to. That's why we have these cards. You fill those out, drop them here. We'll follow up with you. Maybe there's a new idea to you today. Church isn't about coming and sitting and spectatoring. Church, the beauty of church is worshiping a loving God and being able to serve others and love others. The last group that you're in, and this is a lot of you, many of you here totally get this. And this is like preaching, as they used to say to the choir. Serve one another, of course. In fact, that's what you do. That's who you are. So many of you are like that. And I just want to pause today before we close and say thank you. Because you're serving in music and worship. You're welcoming people. You're teaching our kids, park kids. You're getting the coffee and the stuff, or you're cleaning up, you're helping out, you're welcome, on and on and on. You're serving. It's what makes this place go around. It's beautiful. In fact, it's so beautiful, get this. I want to go back to Peter to close. How beautiful is this? When we love one another by showing up and serving. Well, when Peter wrote about this, in first, what we now have is 1 Peter chapter 4, we studied verse 10, right? Yeah? So 1 Peter 4:10 says what? One more time. Like good stewards, now you know what that is, of the manifold grace of God, unbelievable, serve one another with whatever gift each of you have received. So as Peter contemplated that, you know what his next thing was? Verse 11. He said, there's such beauty in this, such grandeur in this. He broke into this like thanksgiving and praise. Listen to this. He said, whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God, and whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. And to him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. He goes on writing just like this doxology, this praise, this, because he said, this, people, is beautiful when this happens. We serve one another and we glorify God in the process. So which one of those four groups are you in? You're invited today to ponder that, to respond. Which group are you in? What's your decision going to be? Is God prompting you to maybe to identify how you're gifted and how you might serve if you're not already? Let us know. We'll be happy to chat with you. We'll now go into our final singing and sharing around the table, but you're invited to contemplate the beauty of and this reality of Jesus himself. He showed up. He came not to be served, but to serve. And we get to too. So Father, thank you for this simple but profound invitation, really direction that you give to us. Yeah, love one another. We like that. We enjoy that. We love to be loved, and there's a beauty in extending love. And Lord, help us to understand and to grow in this thing of how we serve one another well. That's why we show up. What it means to be a steward that honors one another and honors you. So today, may you, by your Spirit, lead us in response as we sing and as we come to the table. For Jesus' sake, amen.